I want to say thank you, Elder Gray, for that powerful. I think that's a summary of my message. It was almost time to have a benediction and then we can go have lunch. Very powerful message. Indeed, we live in a very interesting time. And I just want to welcome all of you. Thank you for being here. Especially, I want to welcome our family in the mother's room over there. A young couple with their two children. I just want to say welcome. We're glad that you're here. Welcome. One is coming all the way from Merritt, and the other one is coming from Vancouver. They have beautiful children, and you're going to stay with us so we can get to know each other. And all of you, glad that you are here. Dr. Bill, good to see you. Dr. Clark, not Bill. I'm glad that you're here to worship with us this morning. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, you are an awesome God. In a time like this, we need you. In a time like this, we need a Savior. We are living in a very critical time in our life, and we know with you, there's no fear, because we know whom we trust. Thank you. Speak to us now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you, as you are growing up as a little child, and you go to some areas, some places, and you are really kind of scared, or you are really afraid? Anybody here? Okay. Next question. How many of you, as you are growing up as a little child, and all of a sudden you ventured, you are far away from your parent? You can't see them. You can't hear them. And you are like, yeah, this is cool. Yeah, la, la, this is awesome. Or you're like, oh no, where's mommy, where's daddy? Anybody here? Anybody? Haven't got lost? Haven't got to a place that you're kind of scared? You don't know where mom and dad is? No? Okay, that's good. You see, children, you can go with your child or with your grandchildren to East Hastings. How many of you have been at East Hastings? How many of you like to be in that area? Okay. Only one person. How about in Wally area in Surrey? How many of you have been in Wally area?
Right? It's dangerous area. It's dangerous. But they need to hear the gospel.
Too. Oh, it's a dangerous area. Why do you say it's a dangerous area?
Because they are in growth. They are out of control. They are not normal.
Right. How many of you would like to take your children, your grandchildren, and walk around that area? You just let them walk by themselves all over the place, whatever. Anybody here?
No, by themselves. I have done that with my grandkids. I want them to see what is the result of giving bad steps.
Were they scared?
No.
Why?
Because they were not walking there. They were in the car, but...
They were in the car.
And they said, no, we know that.
Okay.
We know that.
Okay.
Because we're sitting on the news and we tell them.
Right.
What is the reality.
Right. So, children, you may walk with your grandchildren or with your own children on those places. Do you think they will be scared because you are holding their hand? Will they be scared? The answer is no, because they know their grandpa or their mom or their dad are right there with them. Amen? They may look around, they're just like, la, 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 yeah, just normal life. They may see people, you know, around. But they know their mom or their dad is right there holding their hand. There's nothing to be afraid. Because mom and dad or grandpa is there. How about for you and I? What kind of a world are we living in? What kind of world are we living in? A wicked world, a chaotic world, a world full of all kind of things, right? But yet, if you and I are believers in God, is there anything for us to be afraid of? Is there anything for us to be afraid of? No. Yes, Dr. Bill.
Fear God and fear His commandments.
Right. Fear God and keep His commandments. Right. Yeah, we can fear God. But do we fear God by hiding away from Him? Or we are fearing more like reverent, more like respectful and being kind of in the presence of God? You know, because sometimes fear can be interpreted in a very negative way, and it also can be interpreted in a very positive way. So this is part two of my sermon that we talked about last time. We talked about dwelling in the presence of the Most High. Last time we talked about we live in a world full of fear, disease, accident, violence, uncertainty about the future. People are searching for security. But Psalm 91 tells us that true security is not found in circumstances, but in God's presence. The psalm opened with a powerful statement. You know, this morning I was, you know, at the foyer there, you know, trying to be around, and our dear sister Cynthia just walked in and said just good morning, and, you know, she grabbed a bulletin, she tried to walk in here. I'm like, how was your week? So I'm glad to be here. And that she had a terrible accident coming from, is it Walmart or is it Costco?
Costco.
From Costco. But her vehicle was write off. Probably write off. It was towed.
Maybe.
And could you imagine what could have happened? The worst could have happened. And in that accident, how many people were there?
It was a Ford vehicle, but nobody was hurt, but I was surprised.
You were surprised.
I was surprised because yeah. It was a huge truck that went through, racing through a red light.
Right.
In a very busy intersection.
Right. Yeah, someone was asking me a question. Why is it in the Old Testament we used to hear, we read the stories that God's angels do appear to people? Why is it angels don't appear to us nowadays? And my answer was, yeah, that is God's angels still appearing to us. They don't appear in the form of a dove or a pigeon or an eagle or a donkey. They appear to us in a different ways. Sometimes I be driving all the way from Chilwa coming here, and I try to speed up, and there's a slow driver sometime in front of me. That could be an angel right there, slowing me down, right? Because what could happen if I speed, maybe a deer may jump out, or a cop may be there. I got a ticket. So God's angels are all over the place for protecting us, dwelling in the presence of God. We say, he who dwells in the sacred place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The key word is what? Dwell. God is not looking for visitors, as I shared last time. He is looking for people who live in His presence. This word means not visiting God occasionally, but living with Him every day, every moment of our life. Many believers visit God on Sabbath morning, and then in the afternoon is that time. They visit God on Wednesday, on Tuesday. God is not interested in visitors. Is interested people who would like to dwell in His presence. The secret of God's protection is dwelling with Him. Hebrew word yashab, meaning to dwell, to sit, to remain permanently in the presence of God. I'm giving you a quick summary of what we talked about last time. Dwelling in the presence of the Most High. We talk about the final promises, Psalm 91, 14 to 16 says, God speaks directly with seven promises. I will deliver you. I will protect you. I will answer you. I will honor you. I will satisfy you with a long life. I will be with you in troubled time. Are we living in a troubled time? Yes, God say He will be with me. He will be with you. I will rescue you. He will rescue us. Friends, God is looking for men and women who want to dwell in His presence. I want to dwell in the presence of God. The big idea is protection does not come from knowing the Psalms. Protection doesn't come from knowing from Genesis to the book of Revelation. Protection doesn't come from memorizing the Bible. Protection doesn't come from knowing the Ten Commandments. Protection doesn't come from keeping the Sabbath. Protection comes from knowing God.
Amen.
You know, we can memorize all that we want, but if we don't have the presence of our Creator in each one of us, our memorizing meaning nothing. A child walking with his father through a dangerous city feels safe because the city is not safe. Not because the city is safe, but because the father is strong enough. Because the father is able to hold his or her hand. They feel safe in the hands of their father. You and I need to be safe in the hand of our God, even though we're living in the most devastating world. A world full of sin, a world full of violence and crime, a world full of chaos. We can feel safe in the hand of our God. The secret of Psalm 91 is not protection. The secret is presence. When you and I, me, dwell with God, fear loses its power. Danger loses its control. And peace and joy will fill our life. Friends, today we're going to talk about part two of dwelling in the presence of the Most High. From visiting God present to living in it daily. Psalm 91, 9 to 10. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. Friends, no matter which road we drive in, which part of the world we are living in, God will protect you and I. He will be there for you and for me. Ellen G. White wrote in the book Step to Christ, page 57. She says, religion is not merely a work of the intellect or of the emotions. It is a living principle that enters into the daily what? Daily what?
Daily life.
Daily life of a believer. Friends, dwelling in the presence of the Most High, part two, we're going to go a little deeper of how to dwell in the presence of God. What does it actually look like to live there? How do we remain in his presence in a world full of destruction and conflict? Come on, talk to me. How do we dwell in the presence of God? Anybody? What does it actually look like to live in the presence of God?
Prayer.
Prayer, yes. What else? Dr. Clark.
Surrender
ourselves to Jesus Christ, absolutely. What else? So how do we remain in his presence in a world full of destruction and conflict and chaos? How do we?
Dwell on his person every hour when we can.
Right.
In your car and,
yes.
And every good thing you notice, give
yes.
him praise for it.
Amen. Amen. Friend, the list goes on and on how we can dwell in the presence of the Most High. Here are God's few things. Dwelling requires intentional relationship. What does it do? Dwelling in the presence of God requires intentional relationship. All of us here have some sort of relationship. Friends, families, church family. It has to be intentional. If we don't have intention of having that relationship will crumble. That relationship will not go anywhere. The word dwelling implies choice and commitment. In a relationship, we make a choice. And in that relationship, we need to make a commitment. Without a commitment, what happened? That relationship would crumble. That relationship will fall apart. The word dwelling implies choice and commitment. Next things. Jesus said in John 15. Turn with me in the book of John. Chapter 15. Brother Stephen, just read for us. But I would like us to start from verses 1. John 15. John chapter 15, verses 1. I'd like to read up to verses 8. My Bible said the true vine on the top of it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Different version, right? Every branch is in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it where? Takes it away. And every branch that bear fruit, he does what? Prunes. That it may bear what? Much fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branches cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abide in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. If anyone, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do what?
Nothing.
If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire. And they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be what? Be done for you. Verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Jesus' message to you and to me, to his disciples, is to abide in him. We need to abide in Jesus. What does that abiding really mean? The spirit of prophecy. He said, consecrate yourself to God in the morning. And then what? This is your very first work. Step to Christ, page 70. Consecrate yourself to God in the morning. Make this your very first work. We are living in a very busy world, brothers and sisters. Everything rush, rush. You get up from your bed. Oh, no, I got to go get the coffee. I got to get this. And we run without spending time with God. In order to dwell in the presence of God, we need to have time to say, God, you are awesome this morning. God, wow, my heart is beating. God, yeah, I'm able to open my eyes. God, it is a beautiful day. That changed the atmosphere. That automatically changed your day. Because when we woke up in the morning with that attitude of gratitude, we wake up in the morning no matter how rainy it is, no matter how cold it is, no matter what we hear in the news, the bombs falling. Consecrate yourself to God in the morning. Make this your very first work. That's one part of dwelling in the presence of God. A house becomes a home because someone lives there consistently. How many of you have a house? How many of us call this house a home? We gotta call it a home. A house without anything happening there is not a home. Love has to be expressed in the home. What else? To make a home, what does it require? Come on, talk to me.
Faith.
No, let's talk outside of the Bible. To have a home, what does it require to make it feel at home, or someone to feel at home? What do we need?
Love.
What else?
Warm.
What else? Somebody.
Comfort.
Relationship. Yes. Relationship. Yes, Elder Gray.
A place where you feel safe.
A place you feel safe. Yes. Yes. You know, I think not too long ago, BC government has brought a policy. I think even when you're filling your taxes, whatever they call, there's something they call it, whether you are dwelling, whether you live in that home or not. They don't call it home if you live in the house. If you don't live in the house, you have to pay taxes for it.
Primary
residence.
Yeah.
Right.
Vacancy.
Yeah.
So a house become a home because someone lives there consistently. So we need to dwell in the presence of God. If we are going to be in the presence of God, we are going to feel at home. Nothing to be a place of safety, a place of love. So why do we have to worry about everything that's around our world? Why do we have to worry about the economy? Why do we have to worry about a bank account? Why do we have to worry all about these things? Well, we know we live in the presence of the Most High. We live in the presence, the one who says silver and gold belong to me. The one who says, I know the beginning to the end. Dwelling in the presence of the Most High. What are some of our applications? How can we apply this to our lives daily? How can you apply, Sister Cynthia? I'm going to pick on you.
Oh.
How can we apply some of these principles in our daily lives?
You wake up in the morning and say, good morning, God.
Yes.
Jesus.
Absolutely.
A prayer and a devotional.
Right.
Beginning.
Right. What else? Yes, thank you for that. What else?
Surrender.
What else?
Repentance.
Yes. What else?
And overcoming.
Trust. What's that?
Trust.
Yes.
He says, fear not.
Right.
Why would we worry? Why would we fear anything?
Absolutely. Yes. Daily prayer is not a ritual. It is a relationship.
Dependence. Well, you know, I think the question can be, God, what do you want me to do today?
Right.
When we ask that, it's quite amazing.
Yeah.
Right. God, what do you want me to do today?
What he wants you to do.
Amen.
Guide me to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, guide me through all this. Bible study is not duty. It is a conversation. Sometimes some of us, oh, it is a duty. I got to study my Bible. I got to study. If we study the Bible without connection with the source, what happened? It becomes just a, you know, I have to study my Bible. Because that's what we are taught. There's no authenticity. There's no relationship in there. So Bible study is not duty. It is a conversation with God.
It's a one-way conversation.
But when we connect with him, it becomes a two-way conversation. God needs to talk to us. There's a moment of silence. Let God speak. Because sometimes we want God to hear us, but we don't want to hear God. We come with God with all the list of menu. God, I want this, I need this, I need this. And yet we don't want to hear what God has to say. The next thing, worship is not an event. It is a lifestyle, my brothers and sisters. When we come to worship here, it's our lifestyle. It's not a ritual. It is not some kind of a event. I have one of these professors who used to say, sometimes we Adventists, we become eventists. We like events. There's no relationship in it. That's why I would like to say evangelism should be a lifestyle of our church. Worship is a lifestyle. Bible study is a lifestyle. It's not an event. Amen? Right. Prayer is not an event. It is a lifestyle. That's who we are. It's who you are. Dwelling produces identity. Dwelling in the presence of God produces what? Identity. We are living in a world that is so much identity crisis. I repeat again, we are living in a world where people are having identity crisis. People do not know who they are. People wonder whether they are a man or a woman. People wonder whether they are tall or short. People are wonder all kind of wonder. People are having identity crisis. Why? Because they believe in something that is. God said, I knew you before you were born. Amen?
Amen.
Why would I have to worry who I am? I knew you before you were born. Yes.
Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God.
Amen. Right. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Exodus 33 verse 14. I wish I have enough time to go over this, but because of time, you know, this is another issue. We are pressured with time so much. You know? We are pressured with time. And yes, it's good to keep time for sure. I agree with that. But sometimes we become a slave of time. Amen? Sometimes we become a slave of time. Time is the one pushing us. Exodus 34:29. Moses' face is shine. Why did the face of Moses shine?
Reflected God.
Why? He was in his presence. He spent time with God. When he came back, everybody went, whoa, 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 whoa. Moses, go talk to God. Don't let God come talk to us. Friends, when we spend time with God, we shine. When we spend time with God, if we are people who like to gossip, gossip disappear. If we spend time with God, if we are people who like to complain, complain disappear. If we spend time with God, we are people who are lazy, we become hardworking. Because I remember that, my dear brothers, in my small village, before we become Adventist, message did not come in my area. After Adventist came in our area, and few of us young boys, when we started reading the Bible, man, the whole community started changing. Other parents started asking, what happened? These boys don't go to those places anymore. Those boys don't drink that kind of thing anymore. And look at those boys, they dress so well. What happened? Because we experienced the presence of God in our life. Friends, God changes our life. You become like what you stay close to. What are you spending time on? What are you spending time on, friends? Spiritual truth. If you dwell in fear, you become what? If you dwell in conflict, you become? Come on. Reactive. If you dwell in God, you reflect his what? Peace. Even a time when bombs are falling, even a time when disaster hit, when you and I in the presence of God, we experience peace and joy and harmony. Friends, dwelling in the presence of God. Dwelling requires separation from destruction. You cannot dwell in two places at one time, at the same place. Psalm 1:1 to 2 says, walking with the wicked versus delight in God's law. It is impossible for us to receive the light of heaven if we indulge in what? Cherish what?
Sin.
What are some of the cherished sins sometimes we cherished? Thoughts from the Mount of Blessings. What are some of the sins that we cherish so much? Come on, talk to me. Or maybe it's private, some of those sins.
You first.
Me first, yeah.
You first.
Yeah, me first. Yeah, me first.
Well, answer is
yeah.
Yourself first.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's I'm asking you. You better tell me before I tell you first.
Tell me what you cherish first.
I cherish me?
Yeah.
Yes, I cherish selfishness.
Selfishness?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a selfish individual.
Oh, yeah.
Aye, aye, aye. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a good one.
No. What's that?
I said your answer is extremely general.
That's true. I'm trying to be general. Right, right?
It's broad.
Yes. Okay. I'm stingy. Is that broad? Stingy, yeah.
Okay.
How about you?
Stingy is not a sin, though.
Stingy is not a sin?
Frugal, being frugal is not sinful.
We're not talking about frugal. We're talking about stingy. That to the point I'm not able to give away to somebody. I'm selfish.
Yeah, you're...
Okay, what's yours?
Too many cane burgers, how's that sound?
All right.
I like eating meat, I guess maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think
I eat the other one that we're not supposed to.
I don't think eating meat is a cherished sin.
We're not supposed to eat pork, I also eat that too.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So and somebody said one time to me that if you make one mistake, you're going to make lots of mistakes.
Yeah.
And I really don't believe that to be true.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for that, brother. So it says here, dwelling means choosing what shapes your mind. Social media versus scripture, noise versus stillness, business versus presence. Have you ever been, you know, we are living in a busy bodies. You know that expression, busy bodies. You have the little one 2 years old or 3 years old. They have busy bodies. They're just tireless, right? Yes, Elder Gray.
Well, I'm reacting to what you have up there.
Okay.
Being busy.
Yes.
Does not mean necessarily that we don't practice the presence of Jesus.
Yeah.
Right.
So busyness in and of itself, what we're talking about, is being busy to the exclusion.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it means there, yes.
A busyness versus presence. I like the term that I've read some time ago, it often comes back to me.
Mm.
Practicing the presence of Jesus.
Amen.
While we're busy, while we're doing what
right.
We need to practice the presence of Jesus with us all the time.
Mm.
So we can be busy in the presence of Jesus.
That's true. That's one.
Depends how you define busy.
Right. There was one individual who was working for the church. Okay? He was working for the church. One day he came, he said, you know what? I've been working for the church, but I've never experienced the presence of God. So I can be a pastor myself. I may be preaching. I may lose my intimate relationship with God because it become a job for me rather than having that intimate relationship with God. That's what I mean. We can be very busy for God, but we are not busy with God.
Let's say busyness in the presence, with the presence.
With the presence of God. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
When I'm at work, sometimes I talk to God all the time. Like,
amen.
God, we've got a problem.
Yes. Amen.
Can you?
How can we fix it?
Seriously.
Yes.
2 seconds later, the problem is revealed.
Amen.
That happens sometimes. Couple times
in a fun day. Amen. Amen. Number four, dwelling brings divine protection. Protection is not random, it is relational. This does not mean no trials, no suffering, but it does mean what? It means God present in every situation. We can have problems, we can have trial, tribulation. When God is present in the situation, we know how to deal with it. We deal with it in a godly way, not in a human way, not worldly way. Because we have the presence of God. When we are in a conflict, which is, we are prone to that, unless if you are not human. If you are human like me, we are prone for conflict. The manner in which how we address conflict will either show us we are God's, we are dwelling in the presence of God, or we are far away from the presence of God. Amen? Because God give us wisdom. The promise is not absence of trouble, but presence in trouble. Amen? Being in the presence of God doesn't tell us we are going to be out of trouble, but it will help us. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, God promised. The promise is not absence of the trouble, but present in trouble. God present in our time of trouble. God present in every situation. Nothing happened outside of His covering. Isaiah 43:2, we know that verse, right? When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. God promised He will walk with us. Psalm 91:5, you shall not be afraid. God's presence equal to what? Security. God's nearness equal to assurance. No matter what we go through, He will be there for us. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of what? Of fear. So whenever we go through tribulation, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Those who trust in God have no need to be filled with anxiety. Which I can question of this, because sometimes we go through anxiety in our life. But the manner in which we deal with those anxiety will reveal whether we are in the presence of God or not. Ministry of healing. Those who trust in God have no need to be filled with anxiety. Jesus is the ultimate dwelling place. Colossians 2:9 says, in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. To dwell in God's presence equal to dwell in Christ. That's what we read in John 15. Abide in me. And when we abide in God, in Jesus, no matter what we go through, brothers and sisters, God promised to be with you and with me. So, how do we practically dwell daily? Number one, start your day with God. Number two, practice God awareness, the presence of God. As Dave just mentioned, it's His work. You don't need to close your eyes to pray. You don't need to go to a secular place to pray. You can just have the presence of God as you go through what's happening in our life. Experiencing the presence. Be aware of God. Guard your mind. Let's guard your mind, what goes in our mind. Guard our thoughts. What are we putting in our thoughts? What are we reading? What are we watching? What are we spending time on? We need to have the presence of God. Good to see you. Welcome. Guard our mind. We need to guard our minds. Because we are living in a world so much information. If you watch too much of those information out there, your mind will be full with it. If you're watching negative things, your mind will be full of all the negative things. If you're into news, you have one of your favorite news, you watch all of it all the time, that's what your mind is going to be rewinding all the time. You watch politics, that's what you're going to be watching. That's what your mind is going to be in. So we need to guard our mind with the word of God. Create sacred moment. We need to create a sacred moment that you have a place for yourself, just you and God. End the day with reflection. How did the day go? You know, from day one, my kids are born. You know, especially the moment that they started talking, we started to have a family worship. When they were very little, especially in Port Hardy, we're in a very, you know, in one place, the school is not far, we are just close by. We started to have morning worship and then evening worship. You know, how do I do that? I started saying, you know what, these guys are growing up. I'm not going to be the one leading. You know what? The first time we started talking, okay, who like to do Monday? Who like to do Tuesday? All of them, without even reading, before they started reading, I assigned each of my children a day. Until today, everybody have a day to do a devotional.
Amen.
In the evening, whether I'm home, whether I'm not, it will become part of our life. And every of them, right now we are reading the Bible, we started from Genesis, and every person that night, they are going to read that. They will be the one leading. They will choose the song. They will ask who is going to pray, who is going to close the prayer. When they finish reading, is there any question or any comment? And that become part of our life. Friends, very powerful. Because they will grow with a mind that, you know what, worship is important. As we come to a close, where are you dwelling today? In stress, in conflict, in fear, in anger, or in the presence of the Most High? The safest place on earth is not location, my brothers and sisters. It is a relationship with God. Even in Canada here, you can, not too long ago, we experienced tragedy of shooting in one of our towns here in British Columbia. Even the most safest place on planet Earth, such as Canada, you and I can still experience tragedy. What is more important? Being in the presence of God. In South Sudan, I ran from there. It was the safety of God. Yes, many people died. But I felt it was the presence of God that protected me. My relationship with Him. Like He said, I have a plan for you. And I knew God had a plan for me. And as He has a plan for each one of us. But what He's asking for you and I, to dwell in His presence. The invitation. God is not inviting you and me to visit Him. He is inviting you and me to move in permanently with Him.
Amen.
To move permanently and live with Him. And I have this powerful message. God is not inviting you to visit Him. He is inviting you to move in permanently. He's not asking you to continue renting. He is inviting you to a permanent living place. Amen. Amen? This message come to you and me. Jesus says, Revelation 3:20. Turn with me in Revelation 3:20. What does it say as we close? Revelation 3:20. You find it, read it loud. Revelation 3:20. Anybody?
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and he will sup with him, and he with me.
Amen. My version said, behold, I stand at the door and knocked. A anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will. He did not say, I may. Or maybe I should. He said, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Jesus is knocking. He's knocking at the door of your heart. He's knocking at the door of my heart. He wants to come in and dwell with you and with me. I want to open the door. I want to open the door to him. How about you? Can I see your hand saying, Lord, I open my heart, come in my heart. Praise God. May we all stand together as we sing our closing hymn.
Before we have our closing hymn, Ryan and Maddie would like to come and do their song again.
Okay.
Because Ryan's microphone was on mute.
Okay.
We didn't get the full blessing.
Okay. No, no, let them come right now so that we can sing the closing song. Yeah.
All right.
Ryan, come on. So it's a day of worship.
We're just giving them.
Okay. Sure.
It's kind of like getting a double portion.
A double portion, exactly right. It's just like sometimes when you go to a restaurant and then, you know, you eat the food and then somewhere in the middle there you find, oh, there's a little hair there, and then you tell the waiter and they say, okay, we'll bring you another one. So we're going to have another beautiful portion of musical. Are they going to take a little while, or do you want us to sing maybe a closing song and then they can come and sing after? We should sing? Okay, let's stand up and sing our closing song, and then they can come and sing for us. It's hymn number 526.
God sent his son.
Let's be seated so Ryan and the sister can bless us with another, with one of their beautiful songs. Beautiful. Thank you, Ryan and Maddie. Because he lives, you and I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Without him, you and I are nothing. May we all stand up for the benediction, please. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, your name be glorified. You are a wonderful God. As we open our heart to you, Lord, as you are knocking at the door of our heart, as we open our heart, Lord, we want to dwell in your presence. May you bless us. May you keep us. May you, Lord, make your face shine upon each one of us. May you be gracious to all of us. Lord, may your peace be with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.